hello and a warm welcome to our next episode in our special guest series of PCS Pods. So I'm Kate Forsdyke and I'm a director of PCS Legal, and today I'm joined by the very glamorous Danny Adosi, who is the founder of our own company called Home At Last.
Hello.
Which has helped many people find their dream property. So welcome, Danny. So thank you so much for coming in today. I can't wait to hear all about your company and stuff. So how did you first get into the property sector?
Hello, thank you so much for having me. Honestly, I'm really, really excited to be here. So it's a really good question. I think, like all great careers, I would say I fell into property. I actually bought my first property when I was 24. And then I guess that the property bug bit me, and I guess I kind of since then kind of bought and sold. And I think because of that, people around me would then kind of be thinking, okay, how do I do this? Can I get on the ladder? Is it a possible thing to do? Like, yeah. I thought we'd have to kind of wait, see what we kind of, you know, in our kind of like, you know, rich years of life. I bought young, kind of bought and sold. And then I guess the passion for kind of helping people make that dream come true was born, and then Home At Last established about a couple of years ago now.
Brilliant. No, it sounds great. So what are your top tips or advice for somebody who's looking to buy their first property?
I think top tips wise, I would say the two main things are to do your research and to make a plan. Especially when you're buying in London, property prices are expensive. That is the market is, it's really difficult, especially if you compare kind of average salaries to average property prices. It can feel like it's just never going to happen. And what I think is really key is to kind of look at what schemes are available. What are your options? Because then you can think, okay, maybe I can't buy today. Maybe it's not realistic for me right this very moment. But what is my plan to getting there? And once you've got a focused plan, you can kind of be disciplined in your savings and exactly what you're working towards. So I think that is what is key.
Yeah.
I think so many people, and they're just like, oh, you know, like, I can't buy. And I'm like, well, we do the numbers. And first of all, I'm like, you can buy. And then they're like, oh, okay, well, you know, I really want to live here. I don't live in the suburbs. I don't. And I'm like, okay, well, have you considered this area? Have you considered that? So it's kind of about being like flexible. Like, what do you want to achieve in terms of, like, you know, what you need to be close to green spaces, or you need to be close to good schools, or, you know, you've got your criteria, and thinking about, okay, where can you make that dream happen?
Yeah, sure. No, that makes sense. So, so what prompted you to create your own company, Home At Last?
I think for me personally, it kind of made me kind of sad that so many people just had dismissed home ownership.
Yeah.
And I think the reason being is because they've kind of spoken to one person who's just like, oh yeah, no, it's impossible to do it, and they've kind of taken that as kind of gospel. And so I think, I guess I'm really passionate about seeing more people get on the ladder, more people realize that home ownership is possible, and then just kind of spreading out the kind of the information that can make that happen. Because a lot of people, they've spoken to one person who maybe, you know, an uncle who bought a property 25 years ago, who's like, oh, too expensive, or
they get the wrong advice,
and then they're just like, okay, I can't do that. Or I speak to homeowners, and then they'll be like, oh yeah, you know, you can't buy with them with their 10% deposit, and I'm just like, that's not true. And because people only take the kind of advice of one person, or they use kind of their limited experience, and they say, okay, this is the truth. People then have a very, very skewed kind of picture of like what's the property market is like, and like what's possible. And so for me, it's about kind of, I guess, empowering people to realise like what is possible. And then I guess on the kind of advice they have, kind of the expertise, it's about holding their hand through that journey.
Yeah.
It can feel so daunting when you're doing it by yourself. And a lot of my clients are kind of buying by themselves, or they're kind of from families where they are kind of, you know, the first person to kind of buy a property or whatever. And so it's about being like, okay, you don't have this wealth of knowledge around you.
Yeah.
And why should it be that you can't get on the ladder just because of that?
Yeah.
You will walk that journey.
And it is such a complicated process, isn't it?
It's a complicated process. I think like people are kind of get excited by the kind of finding the property. That's the exciting bit.
Yeah.
And then everybody who's bought a home will know that once you are under offer, it then kind of goes into free fall.
Yeah.
And kind of everyone's focused on their bit, you know, obviously like you yourselves.
Yes.
Solicitors, converters, they're doing their bit. Brokers doing their bit. S agents doing their bit, and it's about kind of like managing all the parties so that you can actually push through a sale. That's where it gets a headache.
Yeah, because I think as soon as you put the offer in, you want the keys, don't you? Really, so you forget that all these people are involved to help you get there. So you kind of need someone on your side, don't you? Just to help you along the way.
To hold your hand along the way and say, okay, listen, you've put the property price, it's listed here. I think people don't even think simple things like negotiating. People are like, oh, well, I don't even think I should bother seeing it because it's listed at this price. And I'm like, that's fine, that's the price, that's absolutely fine, they can list it at that, and this is what we're going to try and get it for. And they're like, really? And I'm like, absolutely. I think what people kind of take for granted is that, like, everything has got a kind of strategy behind it. Some prices are kind of listed because they want to get loads of people in. They're listed quite conservatively. They know there's going to be a kind of bidding war. Other prices, it's because, you know, a seller's really, really hopeful about what they're going to achieve. And they're probably kind of, their dreams, they kind of put their expectations a little bit too high. So it's about kind of saying, okay, this is what's kind of in the, this is what's sold, you know, recently. This is where the market's, where the market's heading. This is kind of the cap of the street. If you were to kind of do a bit of work, would you make a return on your investment, so that they can make an educated decision in that negotiating process, that actually be like, okay, cool, I've got the property and I've got it for the right price.
Yeah, of course, yeah. So what services does Home at Last offer then? So what do you do for your clients?
Great question. So Home at Last, we generally work with kind of two groups of people.
Yeah.
So the main groups of people we work with are people who are ready to buy a house or a flat, a property, people who are ready to buy a property, and we will do the kind of end-to-end journey with them. So we will talk them through what's the best way for them to get on the ladder, look for properties on their behalf. We will come to viewings with them. We'll help them negotiate the price. And then we're talking about kind of that under offer stage. We will then we'll meet with them every couple of weeks and help them drive that sale through. So they kind of get that full hand holding service until they get their keys. For other people who are still saving, still figuring it out, we work with them to kind of give them all the information they need to figure out what's the best option for them. And we create for them a home ownership strategy.
Okay.
So we work with them to say, okay, you can get on the ladder in X amount of months or years. These are the kind of areas that make sense based on the requirements that you've given us. After you've spoken to our broker, you've done our affordability, you've done the past affordability of them. And then we will say, okay, we think you should save X amount per month. And then we'll check in with them.
Yeah.
Like, did you save it? Or have you booked a trip to Jamaica? Because people will be like, I want to buy a property. And then I also want my nice car, and it's just about, you know, can't have everything at times. Some people can, but the large majority of us, it's about what can we sacrifice.
Even just for a short amount of time, isn't it, really, just to get you over the line, really.
Absolutely.
So where do you think are the best places to buy at the moment?
It's a good question. I think it genuinely depends on, like, what's the strategy. And I think people will always ask me, like, okay, so where should I be buying? And I'm saying, you know, is it a property that you want to live in?
Yeah.
Because then your criteria is going to be very, very different. Or is it purely for investment purposes? If you're thinking investment purposes, I would always say, like, in terms of kind of top tips, look at kind of a council's website, kind of see what development plans are happening in the area. Yeah. That's always public knowledge. And then follow developers.
Yeah.
They have done extensive research into where it makes sense to build properties. And I think, like, ultimately, if they've kind of got their nose sniffing out where you should buy, you should follow that. So those are the kind of ways I would kind of figure out where to buy. In terms of if you are buying to live, then I think it's all about, like, what makes sense. If you've got kids and you need that kind of support, don't move 50 miles away from your parents. It's going to be hard, you know?
Yeah.
Is that okay? Like, what makes sense for schools? I mean, sure, you're considering schools. If you're thinking, you know, it's forever home, it's a long time, don't just think about primary, think about secondary as well.
Yeah,
it's that kind of like, what's their strategy?
And how long are you going to live there?
So you can figure out what makes sense. If you're thinking, okay, you want to be a living landlord, you're buying a two-bed, you're a single person, you want to rent out a room, don't buy somewhere that's 20 miles from a station.
Yeah.
People who are renting want to have easy access to get to where they want to go. So it's about that kind of, like, what is the purpose of this property? What need does it need to serve? And then let that kind of guide you in terms of locations.
Yeah, brilliant. Okay, so what type of properties would you recommend to people, like shared ownership, leasehold, freehold? Obviously, I know freehold is the winning ticket most of the time. But
freehold is the winning ticket, as you said. I think what makes me, like, kind of really, like, frustrated is when, you know, somebody will say to somebody, oh, you shouldn't buy that, that's a leasehold property. Or they'll, you know, they say, oh, you know, you should buy a house, not a flat. It's your budget is going to tell you what you can buy. The dream is buying a freehold house somewhere, ideally, you know, easy access to a station, maybe some fields in the background if you like that kind of thing, or the supermarket place. That's the dream. But if that is not achievable, what I would say in terms of, if you are buying a leasehold property, make sure that you've got a good lease length that you've got, that you're not going to need to kind of extend it. I always, when I'm looking for clients, I'm always trying to look at leases that are over 100 years, so that I know that, you know, even if they live in there kind of for, you know, 5 years, they can comfortably sell it without it that kind
and
of
it's not the worry that they might worry have to extend
that if
you
need
it.
To extend it or it's kind of eating into their profit, so that's kind of key. And then in terms of schemes, like you mentioned, shared ownership, there's so many schemes out there. There's shared ownership, there's kind of pocket living, there's the first home scheme, great scheme, there's never any developments that are and it's about thinking, okay, what are the pros and cons? And like, if people are on, like, you know, I said we kind of work with savers, people are figuring it out, we will work with them to say, okay, like, these are the pros and cons of this, is the pros and cons of that, what makes sense for you? And it's about figuring out, okay, John doesn't like shared ownership, it doesn't make sense for him. Sarah doesn't like pocket living, doesn't make sense for her, but what makes sense for me? And making that really personal decision.
It's not a one size fits all,
it's
all, is it?
It's got to be a tailored approach. It's your home at the end of the day, and you know what you're using it for, how long you want to live there, you know, what purpose it needs to serve for you.
Okay, brilliant. So what are the best bits of managing Home at Last?
Honestly, I feel so blessed that I get to walk on this journey with people.
Yeah.
Buying your first home, most people, I mean, people either look at it with, like, you know, a sense of kind of stress or whatever, or a sense of kind of, you know, joy. But I think ultimately you feel proud. And I think in terms of kind of walking people from that journey of, like, thinking, you know, maybe they can't buy or not knowing how they can do it, to actually seeing them in their property, nothing like it. It's such a beautiful part of people's life to be a part of.
Yeah.
I think two best moments, I think, for me are, like, doing a viewing with somebody and, you know, realising this is going to be their one. And then when they get their keys, because they'll always call me, like, we did it! And it's just like, we did do it!
So we all love completion day. So
especially when they're all excited and they're screaming down the phone because they're getting their keys. Absolutely love that.
It's the best feeling. And you're just like, wow, we did it. And to be fair, I guess also not to, I guess, last kind of exciting bit is when the offer gets accepted.
Yeah.
Especially when you've been on a long search and you've kind of had to adapt and you've thought, okay, originally I wanted a 5-bedroom with, you know, 4 baths and an acre of land, and I had to adapt. when I saw what the market was saying, and now I've got this. It's like, okay, we've actually managed to do it. Your offer's been accepted. Because it's that, isn't it? It's matching your budget with your expectations.
Yeah, definitely.
And so kind of, seeing that happen is just, it's just great.
Okay, so this is a bit of a controversial question. So from your point of view, what do you think the conveyancing industry can do to make the process better?
It's funny because some people will listen and be like, why is it controversial? But solicitors, conveyancers, get a bad rep.
Yeah,
that is the truth.
We do.
They get a lot of sack in terms of, oh, solicitors are this, solicitors are that, solicitors are X, Y, Z. So, I mean, I think what the missing piece, I think, and where people get frustrated genuinely, is the lack of knowledge.
Yeah.
People don't know what happens next in the process. And because the solicitor is the person in the process that they speak most regularly to, they put a lot of kind of pressure or expectation on the solicitor to explain things to them. What I kind of do with my clients is try to manage expectations in terms of what a solicitor is doing for you.
Yeah.
They are looking through their, like, the contract for you. They're looking through that management pack for you. They're looking at the lease. There's a lot of work. They're reviewing the searches that have come up from the council. And whilst you might not know or be aware of the whole, you know, the whole process of buying a home, it's not a solicitor to educate you on that.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of that kind of managing of expectations of what a solicitor is doing for you. Because I always say to people, you know, solicitors can be sued up to 7 years after doing your work. Like, that, they are, like, meticulously working on your file to make sure that you're protected, making sure that everything, if there is an issue, if there's something that you need to consider, that you're aware of it. And so to me, it's about the education piece. And I think it's also about that communication. People are like, my solicitor's not got back to me. Yeah. It's been 5 days. And I also have to kind of talk people down from the cliff and explain, they've not got the management pack yet back. There's nothing to tell you. And they could pick up the phone and tell you there's nothing to tell you, but they've got a lot of other clients who they've got stuff to tell. So it's about that kind of managing expectations, like, so you understand what this is doing, and then just also that communication piece.
Communication is the key, isn't it?
Even if you know, like if you don't hear from me, no news.
Yeah.
It's good news. Then they're like, okay, they're at peace.
Of course. So what is the most important lesson that you've learned during your property career?
Good question. I think what I've learned is that you will care the most about this buying process. And I think people put their their hopes and their dreams, of course, in like, I don't know, a broker or a solicitor. And everybody, I mean, everybody wants you to buy, like, of course they do.
Yeah.
But they also want all of their clients to buy. They're busy people. So it's about, like, you've got to remember that, like, you care about this the most. You either, like, you know, work with someone like Home Last, work with a buyer's agent that's going to care as much as you do and is going to help you, or you're going to have to do all the research yourself so that you know what you're getting into at the end of the day, and like, if this is making sense for you. And I think that's what's key. It's about, like, no one is gonna drive this journey if you are not. And the sort of thing is kind of slipping, this, oh, it's been for a few weeks, what's happening? It's like, well, you've got to push.
Yeah,
you've got to push. It's so many moving parts, you've got to push. And I think what people forget is that estate agents, like, you know, worked with some brilliant estate agents that maybe don't love their job anymore, I've fallen out of love with it. But what is key is that estate agents work for sellers.
Yes.
That is their client.
Yes.
And it's not that they are against you, but that is their client. And it's about making that, like, they have their best interest at heart because that's who they represent. And so it's about having an understanding of that. It's like, they didn't mention this, or they didn't mention that, or, oh, I didn't know this. And it's like, well, that's not their job.
Yeah.
We in the UK, we've got a buyer beware culture. Like, that is how the property market
works.
That's
right, yeah.
What you don't know. It's going to come and bite you if you don't figure it out.
Yeah.
And it's about kind of making sure that you've got all your ducks in a row, you've left no stone unturned, so that you're not kind of, you know, getting on the ladder, getting your keys and then regretting it to you.
Yeah,
that is the worst, you know.
Yeah, 100%. So what's next for Danny? So what have you got in the pipeline coming up?
Oh, a really good question. Like, there's so many things we are excited about. We are doing our first ever first-time buyer webinar. So, like, more details about that will be coming out really, really soon. So that you can kind of have, like, all that information all in one place, talk to the experts, ask all your questions, and be good to go. And then we're also hoping to release an ebook. So these are all things in the pipeline. Yeah,
yeah.
People need, like, something handy you can just refer to, like, if you don't want the full service of, you know, somebody walking that journey with you, like, what have you got in writing that you can just refer to, that you can say, okay, these are the top tips.
Yeah,
there's so much information about them. What's the advice, what's the top tips, like, how do I navigate that, or how do I apply that information to me? So that's all in the works.
Oh, brilliant, exciting stuff. So look forward to seeing how that progresses. So, well, thank you so much for coming in today. It's been really good to see you and to hear a bit more about what you're doing for first-time buyers and for everyone else. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. Looking forward to hopefully seeing you again soon.